Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 1 of For the Record program number 470, titled Democracy Imperiled. This is being recorded on July 25th of the year 2004. Before getting into the main body of the broadcast itself, let me remind you, and do so emphatically, that sister station WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on Real Audio. More recent programs are streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older programs available for download only at a longer URL linked to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. Spitfire List is one word, SpitfireList.com. Spitfire is a CD duplication service, stocks all of the programs and lectures I've done over the years, and in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, equipped with Real Audio and featuring the latest pair of half-hour segments, there will be an annotated, written, detailed article-length description of For the Record program number 470 within a week or two of the airing of the broadcast. Be aware that the Spitfire website has a search function, features Paul Manning's landmark text, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, essential for an understanding of these broadcasts. And I want to stress most emphatically to members of the listening audience that with the future looking very dark indeed, listeners should do everything they can to use the Spitfire and WFMU websites to acquire their own database, their own individual body of information, both audio and print. And indeed, as the beginning of each description of this on the Spitfire website urges, please use the internet to do everything possible to disseminate as much of this information as possible. And again, listeners are emphatically encouraged to use the descriptions for the programs and the audio files from WFMU, as well as any other CDs that they can acquire from Spitfire. Use them to create your own individual database and disseminate that as far and wide as possible. Who knows? With what's coming in the future, it may be that the record of the fall of our civilization will be best preserved in these descriptions and broadcasts. Now, speaking of the same, I call this program Democracy Imperiled because boy is it ever. And we're going to begin by taking a look at a subject that we visited in For the Record 466, our interview with my former co-host Mark Ortiz. We came back to this in For the Record number 468, and we're going to be taking a look at this now, and that is the issue of computer-generated voting. We're going to take a look at an excellent article from the Free Press. That is a publication out of Columbus. This is by Bob Fitrakis, F-I-T-R-A-K-I-S, the author of an article on the death of Ethan Gibbs that we're going to look at again in this program. This concerns the electronic voting machines and the heritage of the people who have generated them. I'm going to cite a few of the individuals and a few of the institutions involved here for purposes of clarity. And what I want to stress is to examine the extent to which the computer-generated voting machines are under the stewardship and or have been developed by a very small number of individuals who are not only associated with the ultra-right in this country, but who also have very strong connections to the covert action mavens of the 1980s, people such as former General John Singlaub of the World Anti-Communist League, people like Oliver North, both of them, by the way, involved in the Iran-Contra machinations, and others of extreme right-wing and anti-democratic with a small D bent. Some of the names here. First of all, a pair of brothers, Bob and Ted Yurosevich. They got started in the early 1980s, and they founded a company called Datamark. That is one of the precursors of ES&S, one of the electronic voting machines that we're going to look at here. Now, Bob and Ted Yurosevich's Datamark got funding from a fellow named Amundsen, who is an extreme right-winger and associated with the Council on National Policy. That's a very secretive ultra-right-wing think tank, and it involved, among others, Oliver North and John Singlaub. And Mr. Amundsen capitalized ES&S for Bob and Ted Yurosevich. Now, eventually, Datamark becomes AIS, and Chuck Hagel, a Republican senator from Nebraska who was the beneficiary of some upset victories in his elections, becomes chairman of AIS. Now, AIS originally was Datamark. AIS eventually purchases a company called BRC. BRC stands for Business Records Corporation, and it was founded by Carolyn Hunt, one of the offspring of the very wealthy and ultra-right-wing Hunt family of Texas. Nelson Bunker Hunt, by the way, very closely associated with both German and American fascist interests, was one of the people involved with the Council on National Policy. The McCarthy Group also helped to get AIS turned into ES&S. The McCarthy Group bought Mr. Amundsen's shares in AIS, and the McCarthy Group is also very closely associated with Chuck Hagel, the former CEO of AIS. Now, Chuck Hagel succeeded Bob Urosevich as the CEO of AIS, which then becomes ES&S. Now, Bob Urosevich is now the head of Diebold Election Systems, and he was the fellow who created the first Diebold electronic vote tallying machine. So the heritage here, the key names, Bob and Ted Urosevich, Mr. Amundsen, Chuck Hagel, Carolyn Hunt, and we're going to take a look at how these people fit in with Wally O'Dell, the chairman of Diebold. And note the close relationship between these people. Bob Urosevich is now the CEO, the former CEO of AIS, which became ES&S. He's now the head of Diebold Election Systems and created the Diebold machine. We're going to take a look at this concatenation in the course of the discussion. This article is titled Diebold Electronic Voting and the Vast Right-Wing Conspiracy. It's authored by Bob Fatrakis. It's from the Free Press. It's dated February 24, 2004. The URL will be listed in the description for the record 470. The governor of Ohio, Bob Taft, and other prominent state officials commute to their downtown Columbus offices on Broad Street. This is the so-called Golden Finger, the safe route to the majority black inner city Near East Side. The Broad Street BP station, just east of downtown, is the place where affluent suburbanites from Bexley can stop, gas up, get their coffee, and New York Times. Those in need of cash visit BP's Diebold-manufactured Cash Source Plus ATM machine, which provides a paper receipt of the transaction to all customers upon request. Many of Taft's and President George W. Bush's major donors, like Diebold's current CEO Walden Wally O'Dell, reside in Columbus's northwest suburb, Upper Arlington. O'Dell is on record stating that he is committed to helping Ohio deliver its electoral votes to the president, unquote, this year. On September 26, 2003, he hosted an Ohio Republican Party fundraiser for Bush's re-election at his Cotswold Manor mansion. Tickets to the fundraiser cost $1,000 per couple, but O'Dell's fundraising letter urged those attending to, quote, donate or raise $10,000 for the Ohio Republican Party. According to the Columbus Dispatch, quote, last year, O'Dell and his wife Patricia campaigned for passage of two liquor options that made their portion of Tremont Road wet. On November 5th, Upper Arlington residents narrowly passed measures that allowed fundraising parties to offer more than beer. Even though his 10,800-square-foot home is a residence, a permit is required because alcohol is included in the price of fundraising tickets. O'Dell is also allowed to serve, quote, beer, wine, and mixed drinks, unquote, at Sunday fundraisers. O'Dell's fundraising letter followed on the heels of a visit to President Bush's Crawford Ranch by Pioneers and Rangers, the designation for people who had raised $100,000 or more for Bush's re-election. If Ohio's Republican Secretary of State Kenneth Blackwell has his way, Diebold will receive a contract to supply touchscreen electronic voting machines for much of the state. None of these Diebold machines will provide a paper receipt of the vote. Diebold, located in North Canton, Ohio, does its primary business in ATM and ticket vending machines. Critics of Diebold point out that virtually every other machine the company makes provides a paper trail to verify the machine's calculations. Oddly, only the voting machines lack this essential function. State Senator Teresa Fedor of Toledo introduced Senate Bill 167 late last year, mandating that every voting machine in Ohio generate a, quote, voter-verified paper audit trail, unquote. Secretary of State Blackwell has denounced any attempt to require a paper trail as an effort to derail, unquote, election reform. Blackwell's political career is an interesting one. He emerged as a black activist in Cincinnati supporting municipal charter reform, became an elected Democrat, then an independent, and now is a prominent Republican with his eyes on the governor's mansion. A joint study by the California and Massachusetts Institutes of Technology following the 2000 election determined that between 1.5 and 2 million votes were not counted due to confusing paper ballots or faulty equipment. The federal government's solution to the problem was to pass the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA, of 2002. One of the law's stated goals was, quote, replacement of punch card and lever voting machines, unquote. The new voting machines would be high-tech touchscreen computers, but if there's no paper trail, how do you know if there's been a computer glitch? How can the results be trusted? And how do you recount to see if the actual votes match the computer's tally? Bev Harris, author of Black Box Voting, Ballot Tampering in the 21st Century, argues that without a paper trail, these machines are open to massive voter fraud. Diebold has already placed some 50,000 machines in 37 states, and their track record is causing Harris, Johns Hopkins University professors, and others great concern. Johns Hopkins researchers at the Information Security Institute issued a report declaring that Diebold's electronic voting software contained stunning flaws, unquote. The researchers concluded that vote totals could be altered at the voting machines and by remote access. Diebold vigorously refuted the Johns Hopkins report, claiming the researchers came to a multitude of false conclusions, unquote. Perhaps to settle the issue, apparently an insider leaked documents from the Diebold Election Systems website and posted internal documents from the company to Harris's website. Diebold went to court to stop, according to court records, the wholesale reproduction, unquote, of some 13,000 pages of company material. The Associated Press reported in November of 2003 that computer programmers, ISPs, and students at least 20 universities, including the University of California, Berkeley, and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, received cease and desist letters from Diebold. A group of Swarthmore College students launched an electronic civil disobedience campaign to keep the hacked documents permanently posted on the Internet. Harris writes that the documents expose how the mainstream media reversed their call projecting Al Gore as winner of Florida after someone, quote, subtracted 16,022 votes from Al Gore and in still some undefined way added 4,000 erroneous votes to George W. Bush. Hours later, the votes were returned. One memo from Lana Hires of Global Election Systems, now Diebold, reads, quote, I need some answers. Our department is being audited by the county. I have been waiting for someone to give me an explanation as to why Precinct 216 gave Al Gore a minus 16,022 votes when it was uploaded, unquote. Another hacked internal memo written by Talbot Iredale, Senior VP of Research and Development for Diebold Election Systems, documents unauthorized, unquote, replacement votes in Volusia County. Harris also uncovered a revealing 87-page CBS report and noted, quote, according to CBS documents, the erroneous 20,000 votes in Volusia was directly responsible to calling the election for Bush, unquote. The first person to call the election for Bush was Fox election analyst John Ellis, who had the advantage of conferring with his prominent cousins George W. Bush and Florida Governor Jeb Bush. Increasingly, investigative writers seeking an explanation have looked to Diebold's history for clues. The electronic voting industry is dominated by only a few corporations: Diebold, Election Systems and Software, or ES&S, and Sequoia. Diebold and ES&S combined count an estimated 80% of U.S. black box electronic votes. Let me stress this last sentence. I'll repeat it. The electronic voting industry is dominated by only a few corporations: Diebold, Election Systems and Software, or ES&S, and Sequoia. Diebold and ES&S combined count an estimated 80% of U.S. black box electronic votes. Now we're going to talk about the heritage here of ES&S and Diebold. And again, some of the names, Bob and Ted Yurosevich, William and Robert Amundson. And we're going to take a look at the evolution of Datamark to American Information Systems. It's combining with a Hunt family business, BRC, and its evolution into ES&S, closely associated with Chuck Hagel. And we're going to take a look at the overlaps between the personnel and developmental structures of ES&S and Diebold. In the early 1980s, brothers Bob and Todd Yurosevich founded ES&S's originator, Datamark. The brothers Yurosevich obtained financing from the far-right Amundson family in 1984, which purchased a 68% ownership stake, according to the Omaha World Herald. After brothers William and Robert Amundson infused Datamark with new capital, the name was changed to American Information Systems, or AIS. California newspapers have long documented the Amundson family's ties to right-wing evangelical Christian and Republican circles. In 2001, the Los Angeles Times reported, quote, "Primarily funded by evangelical Christians, particularly the wealthy Amundson family of Irvine, the Discovery Institute's $1 million annual program has produced 25 books, a stream of conferences, and more than 100 fellowships for doctoral and postdoctoral research," unquote. The chief philanthropist of the Discovery Institute that pushes creationist science and education in California are Howard and Roberta Amundson. According to GroupWatch, in the 1980s, Howard F. Amundson, Jr. was a member of the highly secretive far-right Council for National Policy, an organization that included Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, Major General John K. Singlaub, and other Iran-Contra scandal notables, as well as former Klan members like Richard Schauff. Amundson, heir to a savings and loan fortune, is little reported on in the mainstream U.S. press, but English papers like The Independent are a bit more forthcoming about Amundson's politics. Quote, "On the right, figures such as Richard Mellon Scaife and Howard Amundson have given hundreds of millions of dollars over several decades to political projects both high, setting up the Heritage Foundation think tank, the driving engine of the Reagan presidency, and low, bankrolling investigations into President Clinton's sexual indiscretions and the suicide of the White House insider, Vincent Foster," wrote The Independent last November. The Sunday Mail described an individual as, quote, "a fundamentalist Christian more in the mold of U.S. multimillionaire Howard Amundson Jr., who uses his fortune to promote so-called traditional family values by waving fortunes under their noses. Amundson has the ability to cajole candidates into backing his right-wing Christian agenda." Amundson is also a chief contributor to the Chalcedon Institute, that's C-H-A-L-C-E-D-O-N, that supports the Christian Reconstruction Movement. The movement's philosophy advocates, among other things, quote, "mandating the death penalty for homosexuals and drunkards," unquote. The Amundson family sold their shares in American Information Systems to the McCarthy Group and the World Herald Company, Incorporated. Republican Senator Chuck Hagel disclosed in public documents that he was the chairman of American Information Systems and claimed between a $1 to $5 million investment in the McCarthy Group. In 1997, American Information Systems purchased Business Records Corporation, or BRC, formerly Texas-based election company Cronus Industries, to become ES&S. One of the BRC owners was Carolyn Hunt of the right-wing Hunt Oil family, which supplied much of the original money for the Council on National Policy. In 1996, Hagel became the first elected Republican Nebraska senator in 24 years when he did surprisingly well in an election where the votes were verified by the company he served as chairman and maintained a financial investment. Last sentence again because it's important. In 1996, Hagel became the first elected Republican Nebraska senator in 24 years when he did surprisingly well in an election where the votes were verified by the company he served as chairman and maintained a financial investment. In both the 1996 and 2002 elections, Hagel's ES&S counted an estimated 80% of his winning votes. Due to the contracting out of services, confidentiality agreements between the state of Nebraska and the company kept this matter out of the public eye. Hagel's first election victory was described as a, quote, "stunning upset," unquote, by one Nebraska newspaper. Hagel's official biography states, quote, "Prior to his election to the U.S. Senate, Hagel worked in the private sector as the president of McCarthy & Company, an investment banking firm based in Omaha, Nebraska, and served as chairman of the board of American Information Systems," unquote. During the first Bush presidency, Hagel served as deputy director and chief operating officer of the 1990 Economic Summit of Industrial Nations, the G7 Summit. Bob Yurosevich was the programmer and CEO at AIS before being replaced by Hagel. Bob Yurosevich now heads Diebold Election Systems, and his brother Todd is a top executive at ES&S. Bob created Diebold's original electronic voting machine software. Thus, the brothers Yurosevich, originally funded by the far right, figure in the counting of approximately 80% of electronic voting in the United States. Like Ohio, the state of Maryland was disturbed by the potential for massive electronic voter fraud. The voters of that state were reassured when the state hired SAIC to monitor Diebold systems. SAIC's former CEO is Admiral Bill Owens. Owens served as a military aide to both Vice President Dick Cheney and former Defense Secretary Frank Carlucci, who now works with George H.W. Bush at the controversial Carlyle Group. Robert Gates, former CIA director and close friend of the Bush family, also served on the SAIC board. Wherever Diebold and ES&S go, irregularities and historic Republican upsets follow. Alistair Thompson, writing for Scoop.co of New Zealand, explored whether or not the 2002 U.S. midterm elections were fixed by electronic voting machines supplied by Republican-affiliated companies, unquote. The Scoop investigation concluded that the state where the biggest upset occurred, Georgia, is also the state that ran its election with the most electronic voting machines, unquote. Those machines were supplied by Diebold. Wired News reported that a former worker in Diebold's Georgia warehouse says the company installed patches on its machine before the state's 2002 gubernatorial election that were never certified by independent testing authorities or cleared with Georgia election officials, unquote. Questions were raised in Texas when three Republican candidates in Comal County each received exactly the same number of votes, 18,181, on ES&S machines. This last sentence again. And by the way, think about this as a lottery precedent for those of you who buy lottery tickets. Questions were raised in Texas when three Republican candidates in Comal County each received exactly the same number of votes, 18,181, on ES&S machines. Following the 2003 California election, an audit of the company revealed that Diebold Election Systems voting machines installed uncertified software in all 17 counties using its equipment. Former CIA Station Chief John Stockwell writes that one of the favorite tactics of the CIA during the Reagan-Bush administration in the 1980s was to control countries by manipulating the election process. Quote, CIA apologists leap up and say, well, most of these things aren't so bloody, unquote. And that's true. You're giving politicians some money, so they'll throw his party in this direction or that one, or make false speeches on your behalf or something like that. It may be nonviolent, but it's still illegal intervention in other countries' affairs, raising the question of whether or not we're going to have a world in which laws and rules of behavior are respected, Stockwell wrote. Documents illustrate that the Reagan and Bush administrations supported computer manipulation in both Noriega's rise to power in Panama and in Marcos's attempt to retain power in the Philippines. Many of the Reagan administration's staunchest reporters were members of the Council on National Policy. Ohio Senator Fader continues to fight valiantly for Senate Bill 167 and the holy grail of the, quote, voter-verified paper audit trail, unquote. Proponents of a paper trail were emboldened when Ethan Gibbs, president and CEO of True Vote International, demonstrated a voting machine at a vendor's fair in Columbus that provides two separate voting receipts. The first paper receipt displays the voter's touchscreen selection under plexiglass that falls into a lockbox after the voter approves. Also, the True Vote system provides the voter with a receipt that includes a unique voter ID and PIN number, which can be used to call into a voter audit internet connection to make sure the vote cast was actually counted. Brooks Thomas, coordinator of elections in Tennessee, stated, quote, "I've not seen anything that compares to the Gibbs True Vote validation system," unquote. The Assistant Secretary of State of Georgia, Terrell L. Slayton, Jr., claimed Gibbs had come up with a, quote, "perfect solution," unquote. Still, there remains opposition from Ohio Secretary of State Blackwell. His spokesperson, Carlo Lopero, recently pointed out that federal mandates under HAVA do not require a paper trail. Quote, "If Congress changes the federal law to require it, a paper trail, we'll certainly make that a requirement of our efforts," unquote. Lopero went on to accuse advocates of a paper trail of attempting to, quote, derail, unquote, election reform. U.S. Representative Rush Holt introduced H.R. 2239, the Voter Confidence and Increased Accessibility Act of 2003, that would require electronic voting machines to produce a paper trail so that voters may verify that their screen touches match the actual vote. Election officials would also have a paper trail for recounts. As Blackwell pressures the Ohio legislature to adopt electronic voting machines without a paper trail, Ethan Gibbs wonders, why would you buy a voting machine from a company like Diebold, which provides a paper trail for every single machine it makes except its voting machines? And then when you ask it to verify its numbers, it hides behind trade secrets, unquote. Maybe the Diebold decision makes sense if you believe, to paraphrase Henry Kissinger, that democracy is too important to leave up to the votes of the people. And again, note the confluence of individuals and institutions involved in electronic vote counting in the United States. And also, we're going to conclude this side of the broadcast by reprising a portion of an article that we took a look at in For the Record 468. This also is by Bob Fotrakis, the author of that other article. It's from the Coastal Post Online. It's headlined, "Mysterious Death Benefits Bush," and it's about the suspicious death of Ethan Gibbs, whose True Vote machine you just heard described. The subject line on yesterday's email read, "Another mysterious accident solves a Bush problem. Ethan Gibbs dead, Diebold lives," unquote. The attached news story briefly described the untimely Friday, March 12th death of perhaps America's most influential advocate of a verified voting paper trail in the era of touchscreen computer voting. Gibbs, an accountant for more than 30 years and the inventor of the True Vote system, died when his vehicle collided with an 18-wheel truck which rolled his Chevy Blazer several times and forced it over the highway retaining wall where it came to rest on its roof. Rest in peace, Ethan Gibbs. The various programs I've done are available from Spitfire, CD duplication service. Visit their website at www.spitfirelist.com. Reach them by regular mail at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip 95005. Email, mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. I do not get any money from the arrangement with Spitfire. Within a week or two of the airing of this program, there will be a detailed, annotated, article-length description of For the Record program number 470 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. It's equipped with real audio, carries the most recently recorded pair of half-hour segments, and is linked to two sites maintained by WFMU-FM, which is archiving the For the Record programs on real audio. More recent programs streaming at www.wfmu.org/Dave Emery. Older shows for download only at a longer URL link to both that address and to the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, which is now equipped with a search function and features the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile for download. Again, listeners to this program are emphatically encouraged to create their own databases out of the printed and audio material available from the Spitfire and WFMU websites, and create your own repository where perhaps in generations long in the future, people can figure out what happened to the planet Earth and what happened to American democracy. This concludes For the Record program number 470, Side 1, Democracy Imperiled, being recorded on July 25th of the year 2004. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.